Daf Ayin Beis, Tanur Rabbanan. We're talking about, again, Ribbis from the Goyim. Tanur Rabbanan, interesting Shaila. Yisrael Shalav Amois Menanochi. So Yisrael borrows money from a Goy, Ribbis, which we said he's allowed to, going on the side that it's totally mutter. Then, Vizokven Alav Bamalva. So at some point, he's supposed to pay back the loan. He's borrowed $1,000. He's supposed to pay back $1,200. And then he did what's called Zokven Bamalva. Zokven Alav Bamalva means, as Rashi says, that they then write a second shtar that now says you owe me $1,200. Doesn't say it was that it was money and there was Ribbis added on. Rashi's lashon is that it's a kosvalei shtar aleihem, and it just says you owe me $1,200, and that's it. Why is this no geir? And then v'nizgayer. Now the goy is megayer, becomes a yid. So once he's now Jewish, can't collect ribbis. Is this money considered ribbis, or is this money already rolled up into a regular loan and it's not considered ribbis anymore? So this is more like this: im koydim shenizgayer zokem avamalva. If before he was Mizgayer, he already wrote the shtar that was Zakum of Amalva, then we said, Goyvis Akarim, Vigrevis Ribis. You could collect it all. The Rashi has an interesting lesson over here. Rashi has Vigrevis Ribis. The Mishaz Zakifa have a Kegavui. Once you write up the second shtar, which just says you owe me $1,200 and you know, you'll pay it out over 6 months or whatever it happens to be, at that point it's Ke'ilu. The Malva, the Goy, had already said, it's Ke'ilu you paid me, I lent you back the money for a second time, but this new loan is not a Ribbis loan anymore. This new loan is just Ke'ilu you paid me the money you owed me for Ribbis beforehand, now you owe me stamp $1,200, and now I can collect that even when I'm a Geyer. So therefore, that would be Mutter. But if he's only Zok v'lava malva after he's Megayer, Zok v'lava malva, then Goyvis HaKeren. But v'ena Goyvis HaRibis. Then you cannot collect the Ribis anymore, because that's Ribis now he's collecting already when he's Megayer. And of course, you're not allowed to collect money at that stage at all. V'chein Nochmi Shalava Mois B'Yisrael. The same thing would be the opposite case. What about a Goy who borrows money from Yisrael B'Ribis? So the Goy is paying the Ribis now. V'zok v'lava malva. And then the Yid says, let's roll it all up into a single loan now at the end of it, and you'll pay me out over 6 months. V'nizgayer, and now the Goy Megayer. So imajlan is Gayer Zok v'lava malva, Goyvis HaKeren, Goyvis HaRibis. So since it was Zok v'lava malva when he was still a Goy, now when he's Megayer, he just owes his friend now, his Yid, the Yid, $1,200, no problem. You can pay it back. It's not a problem at all. But a mishin is gayer zok from the malva. But if they did not do that process until after the goy is megayer, so now he's already Jewish. Once he's already Jewish, you can't pay ribbis or more. Grevis a Karen, but he ain't a grevis ribbis. There is some discussion in the Rishonim if we're talking about the ribbis moving forward, if we're even talking about the ribbis that was already owed. Some Rishonim said the ribbis that was already owed, he can pay because that was owed as a goy already. We're here talking about the ribbis from that point forward. Debatable. Pashup Shana sounds like it's talking about all the ribbis. So far we have two cases over here where if it's the guy who owes the money, obviously Yisrael owes the money, and the point is that if it turned into a regular chayv before the geris, it's fine. If it turned into a chayv after the geris, not. This is an amazing halacha. Nachri shalav amos miYisrael. So if the goy borrows money from Yisrael, so he owes money to the Yisrael beribis, bankachu bankach, and now he's megayer, bankachu bankach, goyves akem, v'goyves aribis. Even if he was not zaklav amalva, even if he owes the money now as ribis, still says Rabbi Yosi, when he's megayer, he has to pay the money. What's pshat? Amar Rava, Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Huna. Halacha Rabbi Yosi, we talk a pasuk like that. But what's pshat? Why? You're not allowed. It's ribis. Amar Rava, my time with Rabbi Yosi, Kedei Shlo Yomer B'Shvil Ma'osev Nizgayer's. We have a problem, right? It could be that this guy owes so much money on his mortgage that he's willing to become Jewish just to get out of all that ribis. Now, maybe it's true, maybe it's not true. But to avoid any issues, think about what's going on here. Chazal are saying we're being oiker davim in atayra, and we're letting this new yid pay ribis, which is l'chayra aso daraisa l'chayra, just so that people don't think that his geirus is not a good geirus. So mamash being oiker davim in atayra, the kumva say over here in this case, to let him pay ribis, to avoid this issue. Amazing halacha. He owes money. We don't see that anywhere that would make a difference. That would make it worse.
Yeah, that's not
that would make it worse. Then it's a new chayv. Then it's a new chayv with ribbons. Okay, look at it as ever you want. You could debate whether it's the rice or the rabbanon. The mafarshim seem to use the terminology. We have oikar davar min atayra. So as they look at this as regular ribbis katsutza the raisa and chazal and paskin, the Rabbi Yosi said to avoid this issue of chashash on the geirus, we allow him to pay. Amazing halacha. Tarabana. Shtar shekos ribbis. If you have such a shtar, nebuch two yidin wrote ribbis one to the other, he's going to write ribbis. So koinsele says Tanakama, we knasim ve'ena goyva loyas akerim v'loyas ribbis de vermeir. Meir says the shtar is possible. Any shtar which has a chiv of ribbis written in the shtar is posel, and you cannot use the shtar to collect even the karen part of the chayv. Taisa says on top, pirish rivam then a gavim mishabdi. That means you can't use the shtar to collect from a shubadim. Of a bnei chayri gavi al piyos a shtar. Taisa says, but you can use the shtar to just collect the loan. Doesn't mean the shtar is posel. You can't use it to collect the loan. Just we can't use it midine shtar. You could use it midine edim because there are edim there, and you could collect from bnei chayri. You could force the malva to pay back the karen, but the loiv, I'm sorry, to pay back the karen, but you cannot collect from mishubadim. Taisa says, long Taisa over here is discussing. We said earlier in the perek that the edim involved in a ribbis transaction also are over an avera. So if the edim are over an avera, that means they're posseliedus. And if they're posseliedus, the whole shtar should be possel because they're posseliedus. You shouldn't be able to use the shtar at all. This is this long thesis discussing when they would be posseliedus, whether they're not posseliedus, whether they're possel deraisa, possel derabanan. Interesting discussion about the nature of these edim. But it seems to me in the Gemara that we're assuming that the shtar itself would be kosher mitam the edim. The only question is a knas. Because you had ribbis in there. That's our mayor sheet. Chamim Amim. Goyves a keren vena goyves ribbis. Chamim say no. The shtar, the aspect of the shtar that has the keren in it, you collect from a shabbatim, it's a kosher v'yash a shtar. Of course, you cannot collect ribbis, but we do palgina, we split the shtar in half. But Mike Miff, what's the machlaikis? So mayor sever kansina na terem ishim isura. You put something that's usher in the shtar, so we say the whole shtar is no good, you can't use the shtar. Rabbanan savri, like kansina terem ishim. The Rabbanan said, we don't have such a halacha, the shtar, the part of the shtar that you're not allowed to use, you're not allowed to use, the part of the shtar you are allowed to use, you are allowed to use, and that's all. Tanasim, now this, not so simple. Tanasim, we have a Mishnah. A Mishnah we've had earlier, we have many different, quoted this Mishnah many times in the Masechta, which is, shtar chayv hamugdamim pasov. So you have a shtar chayv, so Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, so you have to write a date in the shtar when he borrowed the money. That date is very critical, because only from that date forward can the malva collect from the loiva, from anything he sold or anything like that, from any of the meshubadim, if only from that day forward. If you write an earlier date than the chayv actually took place, that's called a shtar muktam, and such a shtar, says the Gemara, is possible. Shtar muktam is possible. But the opposite, of course, is fine. If you want to write a later date in the shtar, I won't collect from today. I'll only collect from stuff you sold from a month from now. That's totally fine. That doesn't affect anybody negatively, and that's fine. Now, affect the Gemara. Mukdama my psulim. Why is the shtar muktam possible gamri? It's possible you cannot collect from a shubadim with this shtar at all. Neither le gavu mizman rishon, nigdim mizman sheni. Somehow we know that the shtar was predated, but we actually must know what the real date of the chayv was. So let's say the real date of the chayv was Aleph Nisan, and it was predated to Yud Beis Adar, a few weeks earlier. So fine, you cannot collect from Yud Beis Adar, I get that, because the chayv did not really start on Yud Beis Adar. But why can't you use the shtar from Aleph Nisan? Everybody agrees that the chayv happened, the only question is when it happened. So don't use it from Yud Beis Adar, which it says in the shtar, use it from Rosh Chodesh Nisan and move forward with that. Why not? Why does the whole shtar become puzzle? Says the Gemara, this is the exact same point. Just like by shtar sheish by ribis. Remeir said once it has something bad in it, we throw the whole shtar away. But the Chum argued, the truth is this halach of shtar muktam is really machlaikis. According to Rabbi Meir, once the part of the shtar is no good because the date is early, we throw the whole shtar away. According to the Chachamim, obviously you cannot collect earlier, but the shtar is not possible. You use the shtar to collect. Again, you have to know what the date is, but assumingly how somehow you know what the proper date of the actual chayv was, according to the Chacham, says Rish Lakish, you should be able to collect moving forward. So this point of a shtar muktam pasul is actually machlaikis, based on the same machlaikis we have by ribbis. That's Rish Lakish's understanding. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Fiotem Rabbanon, Gezemer Sherin Yigma, Mizman HaRishon, Mizman Rishon. He said, we have an issue. He says, by a shtar sheish by ribbis, there it's very, very clear in the shtar, this is the ribbis charge, this is the keren charge, and therefore you bring it to Bez, then everyone's going to understand, you can collect the keren, but of course you cannot collect the ribbis, we don't have to make it xeris as the chachamim. But over here by a shtar muktam, where the shtar itself has the date of Yud Beis Adar, we happen to know that it really took place from Nisan, so what do you want to say? Let's let him use it at least to collect back from Yud Beis from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's very, very possible that we're going to make a mistake somewhere. Some Bezdin's not going to realize it was a shtar muktam, they're going to actually collect from the earlier date. Too many issues will come out of this to make a mistake, because it's not clear mineyubay that it's a shtar muktam. Whereas by shtar sheish beribis, it's clear mineyubay it's a shtar sheish beribis, and that's why over there you're allowed to use it, because we're less alul to make any sort of mistake. Now listen to the story. Similar case here. Who gathered the mashkele pardisu lechaver? So a guy borrowed money from his friend. It was a long-term loan. And he gave his field as a mashkin. Some gears is having over here. It was a mashkin for 10 years. Now, as we'll get to Mitzvah Shem shortly in the Gemara Basra, when you give a mashkin to someone for 10 years and they're living in your field for 10 years, it's dangerous. It's dangerous because once they live there past 3 years, you have to be able to prove that it's your field. So normally we say, as we'll see in the Gemara Basra, you make a macha. Every few years you make a macha of a bezdin, so everybody knows that this field is really yours and he's just living there on borrowed time as a mashkin. Okay. But this guy let the person live there and he didn't make a macha. So now he's exposed. So what happened? So the guy used blackmail on him. Achol Tlasa Sheni, the Malva lived in the field for 3 years. Amar Lein, and the Malva said to the Leiva, Imazimis Linehili Mutav, I want to buy your field. If you're willing to sell it to me, great, I'll pay you full price. We'll close the deal, I'll buy the field. Vilo, if you refuse to sell to me, Kavzhinala the Shtar Mashkanta, I will hide the Shtar Mashkanta, which shows that this field is not mine. I'm just living there. Mitama Mashkin. Vamina Lakucha Biyadi. And I will be able to live in the field now, be able to taina a chazaka. I'll taina you sold it to me. I don't need to produce a shtar because everybody's seen me here and I've ate them and I've lived there for the last 3 years eating the field, which with the taina of lekuchi biyadi works as a chazaka. And therefore, I'll be able to keep the field without paying you at all. So blackmail. Either let me buy the field or I'll just lie, claim it was mine and I bought it from you and you won't be able to do anything about it. So this guy's stuck. What's he supposed to do? So he says like this. Thinks about a plan. Ozal. So the Levi gets up. He's like this. Come akne the blei akotet. He goes quietly when no one's watching. And he writes a shtar that sells this field to his younger son. You don't want to sell it to a third party because maybe the third party will take that shtar and run away. So he sells it to his younger son. Okay. So now who really owns the field now? This little kid. Then now he goes ahead and goes back to the Malva, who's threatening him, and he says to the Malva, okay, I'll sell it to you, no problem. And they write up a whole shtar, and I'll sell it to you, and they transfer, and he pays him. The Malva pays the Leiva for this field, done. After it's all said and done, now the Leiva goes back to Bezin and says, this shtar that everybody's going to say that shows I sold my field to the Malva is false. Because I have a shtar that was dated 2 weeks earlier that I already sold the field to my younger son. It's not my field. I was unable to sell it to him at all. The whole shtar is a joke. And I guess that now he's not afraid of the Malva anymore. Whenever he felt that he would be able to be protected. Okay, so he did that. That's no problem. That's all legitimate. All totally works. But that's no problem. You're allowed to be zeichet to a katan. It's no problem. The katan can't sell it back to you. That's why he sold it to his own son. That's what. Wait, oh. So now, no. Now we have an issue here. The Malva paid the Leiva for the field. He paid him. Okay. He's got to give that money back. Right? The Leiva ended up not selling the field to him. It was a farce. So the Leiva has to give that money back. And the Leiva has to give that money back because this is what every shtar we say is a shtar sheyesh b'achrayus. I sell you a field. Unless we write otherwise, the achrayus is toh sefer. So we always assume there's built-in insurance in every deal. If it turns out the field wasn't mine that I sold it to you, then I have to reimburse you the money. No debate on that. That's a classic hilchos shtaris. Mara's question is a very simple question. Zvini vade lehavi. So the zvini doesn't count. Lehavi zvini. Zuze, the money that the leiva now has to return back to the malva, that it turns out it wasn't a sale. Kamalva b'shtar damim v'gav m'chas m'shubadim. Adama kamalva p'ed damim v'enigav m'chas m'shubadim. When the leiva now owes this money to return to the malva, is that based on the shtar that was written? Remember that he wrote a shtar mechira. Shtar mechira had a chrayas in it. So normally you would say, okay, so now the Leiva owes him money based on that shtar sheyesh b'achrayus. The Malva could collect from the Leiva even from his Shabbatim because he has a shtar that proves that he owes him the money. Or do we say, that shtar was a shtar mechira that was false. Once the shtar mechira was false, we throw out half the shtar, we throw out the whole shtar. Like we just said in Meir, by shtar sheyesh b'achrayus, we throw out the whole shtar. We talk about a shtar muktam, we throw out the whole shtar. So maybe here also, it turns out this shtar that says I sold you the field, that the Leiva sold the Malva of the field, was not a shtar at all. It was nothing. It was a joke. So once that aspect of it is a joke, then the achrayus aspect of it is a joke. Now, of course, he owes him the money. Right? The Leiva stole money from the Malva. The only question is, does he owe it to him as a mushubadim from a shtar, or does he owe it to him al peh? Because he just stole money from him and he has to return the money. What's the nature of that chayv? It means, what is the validity of this shtar? Do we say palginon in this shtar or not? Do we say to the shtar, well, it was a false shtar, so the whole shtar is in the garbage? Or do we say, no, the mechira part of the shtar was a false shtar, but the achrayus is exactly that. If you think about it, it's a catch-22, right? Because, yeah, what is the function of achrayus if it can't protect against the false mechira? Now, really the function of achrayus is for a balchayv. The mechira was a good mechira, but you owed money to someone, so the achrayus covers me. But there is a second aspect to achrayus, which is it covers me if the field wasn't really yours. In fact, maybe it really doesn't cover you. Yes, you owe the money, but the shtar is invalid. So if the shtar is invalid, there is no document, right? So if you sign a long, long document, one sif in that document is bad, the lawyers will throw away the whole document. Then you have nothing. Then you can't collect with it. So how do you look at this? So do you say, Zuzi, Kamava b'shtar dummy, the garment chas mishubadim, or dima kamava pe dummy, veinu garment chas mishubadim. So Rabbaya says Rabbaya, v'lav hainu deravasi l'chayra. We see from Ravasi that we could split the shtar. Why? Gam Ravasi, moi de b'shtar shakos vei ain't tzarich l'kaimer. If we have a shtar, I take out a shtar that you owe me money. Okay, and you admit that the shtar is a real shtar. I don't have to bring. Normally, I have to bring edim to prove an edim that can verify the signatures. Blah blah. But if you admit, you the loiv admit that the shtar is a good shtar, it's good. Okay, we don't have to prove anything else. As long as you admit the shtar is a good shtar, that's all I care about. So here also, v'gam rechos v'shubadim, and therefore here also, you admit that the aspect of the shtar that's achrayus oriented is real. You admit you took my money, the loiv admits that he took some of his money. So granted, the aspect of the shtar mechira is full, is bad, but the loiv admits he took the money. If he admits he took the money, it should be no different than any shtar that the loiv admits that part of the shtar is valid. Amalei Rava, what are you talking about? Me dummy, hasam nitinli kasev, hachal nitinli kasev. Buy a shtar that you can write that the loiv admits is true, or like the shtar muktam, etc. That's a valid shtar, as we'll see in a second. Over here, the whole shtar should never have been written in the first place. The whole shtar should never have been written. It's written about a transaction that really never occurred. And if it's written about a transaction really never occurred, the whole shtar is false. If the whole shtar is false, you throw the whole thing in the garbage. And you cannot collect anything with this shtar. So this was the big debate. Yas Meremer Bekamala Shmeitzer. Meremer said over the Shtickel Torah. Amal Arvino Lar Meremer. Elohadamer B'yechon Gzer Shem Yig Mizman Risha. And we said over there, B'yechon said, why is the Shtar Mukdam Puzzle? Because we're afraid you might come collect from the Zman Risha. I have a better answer. You know why it's Puzzle? It's Puzzle for the same reason. It's Puzzle, Neymel Anitili Kasev. The thing shouldn't have been written from the earlier date. Anything that shouldn't have been written from the earlier date, you throw out. He says, no, that's not true. I'm like, hachi ashta, it's not true. Hasem nidal niti kasim izman rishon, aval niti kasim izman sheni. Over there in the case of the shtar muktam, everybody agrees that the loan took place. The only question is, did it take place on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, or did it take place on Yud Beis Adar? But it took place. So you can't tell me the shtar is not supposed to be written. The shtar is supposed to be written. The date was wrong. Okay, but the loan took place. But hachal niti kasim klal, over here you wrote a shtar about a transaction that never occurred. And if you had a transaction, a shtar about a transaction never occurred, doesn't exist. It says, but we have a ferish of brisa like this. Elohad desanya, we have a brisa. We learned this also many times. We had it before. We had a ma'aser, we had a kama. L'shvach karkoyes kesed. You're allowed to collect things that you're allowed to collect from a shubadim and b'nei chayr. So if I owe you money, so normally if I owe you money with a shtar, I can collect from your shubadim, even things you sold. If I owe you money balpe, I can only collect from things that are b'necher and things that you have. One of the things we said you're allowed to collect is shvach karkois. When you owe me money for improvements you did to the field. What is that referring to? The Gemara explains, Kate said, if Reuven steals a field, Reuven sells a stolen field to Shimon. And now Shimon is living in the field and he improves the field. Okay. Then it turns out, it turns out that it was never Reuven's field in the first place, and it goes back to the original owner. So now Shimon has a teviyah on Reuven. You sold me a stolen field, and I improved that field, and it turns out it was all taken away. So you owe me for the money I paid you for the field, and you owe me for the shvach karkos. So the Brisa says, the main money that Shimon paid Reuven for the field, he can collect from the shubadim of Reuven. But the extra money that he invested in the field that Reuven now owes him, that he can only collect from Reuven. And as Rashi explains, because that extra money is not written in a shtar, and that extra money, it doesn't have a fixed price. And therefore, no one could protect themselves against such a chayv. But the actual money that Shimon paid Reuven, you could collect from Nechasin Mishubadim. Now this is our case. This is exactly our case. Reuven sold a field to Shimon that wasn't his. which means the shtar that Reuven wrote to Shimon was never a shtar. And if the shtar was never a shtar, and you tell me therefore the achrayis is never really an achrayis of Meshubadim, why does the Brisa say Shimon could collect from Reuven for the nechas, from nechas Meshubadim, for the keren? Why is this any different than our case? I'll tell you why. Hasam, there's a what happened over there, it's the opposite case of our case. Remember, in our case, really did not want to sell it at all. He went ahead and he avoided selling it by selling it to his young son, but he didn't. The Leiva did not want to sell the field to the Malva at all. In this case of the Braisa, Reuven does want to sell the field to Shimon. Happens to be a slight minor detail that it's not his field to sell, but he does want to sell it. And therefore, after he goes ahead and sells it, he thinks he got away with it. Once he realizes he's going to get caught, he's not just going to give in. So he says, you know what he's going to do? Ilaman diyama nichale de likre gazlanaisa. Reuven's going to go back to the original owner and do as much as he can to close a deal with the original owner to make it Reuven's field so that he won't be called a gazlan when he sold it to Shimon. Or, he wants to make sure people think he's trustworthy and therefore people shouldn't think he's selling bad fields. If he sees he's going to get caught, he's going to go out of his way to go back to the original owner to try to get his field, to try to make a deal to get the field. So, he'll go back to the original owner to make a deal and make the shtar good. In other words, Reuven really wants the shtar to be good. Right now, you're right, it's a bad shtar. But he wants it to be a good shtar, and therefore the achrayas in it, we consider a real achrayas. But hach, in our case, the whole idea was that the loiva does not want to sell it to the malva. And if he sold it to the son first, he's absolutely no interest in selling it to the malva. And if a shtar mekaimle, he doesn't want the shtar at all. The whole shtar is a false. So therefore, we're coming out now. It's not so simple of lanitin likasin. Yes, it's lanitin likasin when you're selling a field that's not yours, but it depends on the nature of the lanitin likasin. If it's lanitin likasin and you don't want it to be written, then the achrayis is talking out of achrayis. But if it's lanitin likasin, but you do want it to be written, just right now it's bad, but you could work it out somehow that eventually it'll be good, then we say you could collect, use the shtar as a shtar shesh by achrayis and collect from a shubadim in that case. Back to Dinei Ribis. Finally, we get to this mission after all these daf. Ain paiskin al paris ad shiyatzah shar. So, if you want to make a deal, then I'm going to pay you now. I'm going to pay you now for these fruits, but you're not going to deliver them till later. Okay, based on the price. So, generally speaking, you're not allowed to do that because the price might fluctuate. And it turns out that it's going to go up in price then later on when I want to deliver to you the fruits. What's really happening is, we normally say, is that the loikeach over here is lending money to the moicher. I'm giving you money now, and you're paying me back later with fruits that are worth more than the money I gave you. That would be ribbis. So you're not allowed to do that. And as we've said throughout this parak, there's two ways. This is a mekach memker issue. It's not really a halva per se. It's really a mekach. So chazaw or meko. It's only ribbis d'rabbanan. And there's two ways that can be mutter. It can be mutter, we said, in yeshloi, if it turns out that the meicher has the fruits right now. And he could give them right now. He's just not. Then we consider those fruits already to be owned by the lekech, which in this case is the malve. And therefore, if they go up in price, they're already his fruits. They're not really his fruits. He didn't make a kinyan on them, but he could have made a kinyan on them. So Chazal say it's okay. The other way that it's mutter is what our Mishnah says. A price called Paris, ad shi yotza ashar. Unless there's a fixed price in the market already. Yotza ashar, if there is a fixed price, paiskin, why? Even if, in this case, the meicher doesn't have fruits available to actually give to the lekech, but since it's a fixed price, everybody's selling these fruits now. And if everybody's selling these fruits now, in theory, the meicher could take the money he got from the lekech and go buy fruits. And then they would become the lekech's fruits, and if they go up in price, it's kilo de lokech benefits, and there's no issue over there. So either if it's yeshloi or if it's yotza hashar, those are the two heterim to be able to collect money now, even though you're not delivering till later. Now, what does that mean, yotza hashar? So yotza hashar depends on each type of produce. Okay, it also depends where you are, and it also depends on the nature of the person. What does that mean? Says the Mishnah. Let's say his crops were harvested early. He had good crops, and they harvested early. But the fixed price of the market has not yet come out yet. But he wants to sell now. What does he do? You can do that. You can say, based on the crops I have now, I'm going to sell it to you. Why? Because it's yeshlei. Now, you don't need yotza hashar if it's yeshlei. As long as the meicher actually has the crops right now, and he could deliver them if he wants to, even though he didn't, but he could, that's also good enough. So if I happen to have crops that I harvested early, and the price has not been fixed yet, but since I could deliver it to them, you now, you can pay me now, and I'll deliver it to you later if you end up making money, kol hakavod to you. Now we're going to go through a bunch of cases of this in the Mishnah. As we'll see in the Gemara in the next few days, these are very specific cases on the stage. That means, what's considered Yeshlei? We said Yeshlei. Now, if I already have the apples cased up, and I could deliver it to you in Mamish right now, then of course it's Yeshlei. What if they're not cased up yet, the apples? What if they're still on the tree? Is that considered Yeshlei? What if they're off the tree, but I didn't box them yet? Is that considered Yeshlei? How many stages are allowed to be missing from the delivery process for it to be considered Yeshlei? So the Mishnah says a bunch of examples, and the Gemara will explain it more in detail in the next few days. So, posing about Godesh, Vala Ovid Shalanovim. Ovid is some sort of box they used to use for grapes when they collected grapes, not for eating grapes, but for grapes that will turn into wine. It was a certain type of box they put them in. Vala Matan Shalzaisim, the same exact thing that they used to use to put sacks to collect the olives. Vala Beitzim Shal Yotzer. This is when they were making like bricks or mortar or something like that. They used to make them in round balls that were called Beitzim. Okay, so they used to use it for that. Vala Sid Mishashaka Bakivshan, if you're making some sort, again, of mortar or something like that, that you're making in a that you're making in some sort of kiln. So that also, once it's past that stage, that's considered Yeshlei. And, says the Mishnah, and if you want to sell the guy fertilizer, so fertilizer is always available. Now, fertilizer is not really always available. Okay, generally speaking, what they used to do was they used to take their fertilizer, whether it's from the animals or whether it's from hay that gets crushed, and the Maizak Shamim used to put it out on the streets. People, it would get wet, and people would step on it, and then the Maizak Shamim would actually already have fermented and turned into fertilizer. So it's not really always available. Kanakama says it's enough always available that it's always considered Yeshlei. Rabbi Yossi says no. Ain Paiskan al Zeva Elam Kein Hoysel Zeva Ba'ashva. No, even by Zeva, you have to have it. If you have the fertilizer, fine. If you don't, you don't. No such thing as it's easily accessible. If it is, it is. If it's not, it's not. Chama Matir. Chum seemed to say exactly what the Tanakhama said. We'll have to see in the Gemara exactly what the Chama arguing. They seem to be a third sheet. Next halacha. Upaisik imoi b'shar hagavoy. Now, this is a very interesting point. If we're talking about a case where it's yatsa hashar, so I want to sell you wheat. So we say, okay, well, I don't have the wheat to deliver to you right now, but you want to pay me now, so it's a ribbis problem. But it's Yatzah Hashar. Yatzah Hashar says that we already know exactly what the price is going to be, so it's fine. Now, what happens if till I deliver it to you, the price changes? Now, if the price goes up, that's great, because now I'm delivering to you wheat, and you're making money, everything is good. What if the price goes down? Right. So now, you've paid me 1,000 shekel, and Lamaisa, when I deliver it, the wheat that you're getting is only worth 900. So, now, Shar HaGavon is the opposite of what you think it is. Shar HaGavon doesn't mean high price. Shar HaGavon means high produce. So Shar HaGavon is actually a lower price when I'm delivering you more produce. Gavon is going on the amount of produce you're delivering, Rashi explains. So I can actually say to you, I am going to get the best, I'm paying you now, and you're going to deliver me fruits in 6 months based on the best price available. Either the price that we already closed on now, which is the Yatzah Hashar, or if somehow by then the price goes down, then you actually owe me more fruits, not less. Okay, so the Lokeach over here is covered on both sides. It's not a ribbis question. Remember, it's considered like Yesha. It's considered like Yesha. It's Pasuk Hashar. It's like the Lokeach stuff. He could just cover himself from all the best stages. So if you don't want to give it to me at the lower price, then you have to give you the money back, and that's the end of the deal. You don't have to make such an arrangement. It's built in. Because since you didn't deliver the fruits to me yet, I can back out of the deal. And if I can back out of the deal, then of course you can't force me to take the more expensive stuff. I could just back out. Now Rashi points out, according to the Rabbanan, they would say there's Mishapara over here. You can't just back out on the deal once you already agreed to the deal. So we'll see exactly what the Gemara Chalukah says in the Gemara. Amar Basir Beichin. Says Rabbi Yechon, it says a seemingly strange halacha. Says Rabbi Yechon, Ain Paiskan al Shar Shabashuk. You're not allowed to make a deal to take money now to deliver later based on a fixed price in the shuk. What do you mean? Did Rabbi Yechon mean even in a giant marketplace? Rashi says it was a butcher store, an itlas of some sort. It was a giant marketplace, and it would seem to be the larger the market, the more fixed the prices were. When you have little small markets, and we know that nowadays, right? You go to the makolet, suddenly they're charging 10 shekel more for the same item than in the big supermarket, they're charging much less. Because in the makolet, there's a convenience fee that no one's watching exactly what's going on, so they charge whatever they feel like. So Rabbi Yechonam said that you cannot use it based on the shuk. What did that mean? Did that mean even a large shuk? Kedur mezeh? Amar? So Amar le? No. Lo yamar Rabbi Yechonam ala b'shuk shala yoris. Lo kvi taira. When Rabbi Yechonam said you cannot rely on the fixed price, he meant the fixed price in the small shuk. Small shuk price doesn't count as a price yet. You have to wait till the larger fixed price comes into effect. So what's the havmina? Well, the ma'asakan I had to make card. Rabbi Yechon feel like kedor merzeh. If you thought Rabbi Yechon said that there's no such thing as a fixed price, so what's the means of Mishnah? And Basliz Tani Price Gal Paris Yatzar Shar Yatzar Shar Price Kerechem Mishkachasa. How's Rabbi Yechon in the havmina? How's Rabbi Yechon going in the Mishnah? Mishnah Beferish, you could do this. Says Mar Basliz and Bechiti the Achelbi the Chalbi the Arbi. There's wheat that they sell in the very large market. So apparently, with the way Rashi explains it, is the Mashach Teraya Tfei that there is a fixed price. There's three levels of shuk. Okay, there's the local makolet, which we said doesn't count at all. There's the city level shuk, which is large but not huge. And over there, the prices are pretty much fixed, but we could debate whether that's fixed or not. And then there's the wholesale market. In the wholesale market, then already it's very, very fixed price. So obviously, everybody agrees if the wholesale prices are fixed already, that's considered fixed. And if it's just the makolet prices, that's for sure not considered fixed. The middle price on the, in the local markets, the medium-sized markets, that's what we were debating, and that's the Gemara seems to be saying that's also okay. Well, there are some Rishonim who say even that's not okay. It's debatable exactly what's considered yatzar shar. Tanabana. Ein paiskan ala paiskan yatzar shar. Until you have a fixed price. Yatzar shar paiskan. Alf b'shen lezel, yesh lezel. Even though you don't have, but you could buy easily from anybody else based on that fixed price, so it's considered the lokechs already, and it's fine. What if the new fruits, and we're talking about fruits, Rashi says they used to sell, they used to want them delivered when they were dried already. Okay, so if you had a fixed price for fresh fruits, which people don't really want, and it was four kilo for a dollar. When it says four, that's not the price, that's the quantity. Okay, so it's 4 kilo for a dollar, which was cheaper. The yeshana is the dried out ones, the shalosh is more expensive, it's 3 kilo for a dollar. Ain price can't see yachas halach chadash yashan. That's not considered price yet. You can't set the fixed price yet for the new stuff, because people don't want the new stuff. You're going to deliver it when it's already old. So actually what you're delivering is the yashan. So you got to make sure that the price is all set for everything equally before you could start negotiating. Similarly, there were people who didn't have their own wheat, and they used to gather up little bits of wheat from all kinds of other fields and sell it. That's not high quality wheat. That's very low quality. It's a junk. So if the lakutes was 4 kilo for a dollar, but regular wheat that you buy is 3 kilo for a dollar, so it's more expensive. And price counts, yatzar shah, look at lumeiches. So then if you're buying from the high quality, you can't say, well, I'm going to use the price for the low quality stuff. Doesn't work. The price has to be set based on the quality that you're purchasing. I'm Rav Nachman. But that doesn't mean that there's not a fixed price. If you're buying from the cheap people and that price has already been set, then you can buy from them. That's fine. It just means you can't buy from the other people based on that. So wait a second. Why are you allowed to buy from the cheap people with that price? The less they, if he doesn't have, he can always get from his friend. So if you're going to buy from the rich people, from the high quality stuff, he can always get from the low quality people. So it's still yatzar hashar. I'm like, what are you talking about? Balabayas is never going to go borrow low quality stuff. The whole idea is you're buying from him high quality crops. It's not considered yeshlei or yatzar shar for something that's not the same. It's basically not considered the same thing at all. It's more than that. When I pay for the high quality. I don't care that he can go get low quality. I want the high quality. I'm Rav Sheshes, I'm Rav Huna. Funus is an amazing halacha, which makes no sense. Ain love and al shar shabashuk. You're not allowed to borrow al shar shabashuk. Now Rashi makes two pshat. We'll go to the first pshat. Rashi. Rashi's pshat is: till now we've been talking about you're paying money for a mekech memker. You're paying money, and you're going to eventually collect the crops. We said yatzar shar is fine. What if I'm not paying money? What if I'm actually lending you money? Loving. It's not a mekech memker. I lend you money. Say, okay, how much you bought? I bought 100 shekel. How much you want to pay me back? Tell you what, pay me back a kilo of apples in six months from now. So this is the same story, giving money now for fruits later, but here it's not a halva, here it's not a mekach u'memker transaction, here it's more of a halva transaction. Is that okay? So if Huna said, you know, if it's an actual halva transaction and we frame it that way, no good. You can't do it, because then it could be the fruit price, the price of the fruits will go up, and it's no good. Even if the price was set by the Shar Shemeshuk, the Shar Shemeshuk business only helps from Mekach HaMemcher. It does not help at all by Halva. I'm going to have Yisrael Baruch HaMalor of Sheshes. I'm going to have Asi, Lor of Sheshes. Me and Rav Huna, Rav Huna said that. We have a documented story not like that. For Bar Min and Rav Huna, they asked the following Shaila. Hani Bar Bei Rav, the Yazbi B'Tishrei, they borrow money in Tishrei. Upara B'Tavis, and they get paid back, and they pay back in Tavis based when the fruits are available, but based on the older prices, the old prices that we had. So Shari Yasser, is that Mutter Yasser? And Amalu, and Rav Huna said, Hachiti Behilni, Hachiti Beshili, Ibai Zavdi Parlei, Meikara. Oh, boyle. Uparile. Says, I don't understand. Of course it's mutter. Since when they borrowed the money, when they gave the money, they could have already at that point bought the crops. So that's the same thing. It's, yeah, it's considered yatzar shah, it's considered yeshlai, and that's fine. As long as when the malva got the money from the laiva, when the laiva got the money from the malva, he could have bought crops and paid back right now. He happened to wait 6 months, but doesn't matter. Since he could have bought it right now, that's mutter, which is exactly our case, which is the whole hetter we've been using the whole time now of yeshlai or yatzar shah. And this is a case of a halva, not a case of mekach u'memker. So you see, Ravuna said it's mutter. So no, you're right. He thought it was aser by halva. He changed his mind. Ravuna changed his psak, and he said, just like this is mutter by mekach u'memker, it's also mutter by halva. There's a heter of yeshai and a heter of yatzah hashar. Agut and Shamas.